things don't go very well, and by the end of the picture, he's alone, an alcoholic, and he's stranded on Earth. It's a character that David Bowie says he always wanted to revisit. So Lazarus, the musical, picks up where the movie left off. His alien character is still trapped on Earth and still trying to find a way home. The original cast recording for Lazarus is out now on Columbia Records with songs arranged and orchestrated by Henry Hay. We'll play some of that music in this conversation. Henry Hay and David Bowie had first worked together on the 2013 album The Next Day, David Bowie's record The Next Day, and Hay says he couldn't pass up another opportunity to work with Bowie.
I was interested immediately. Anything to do with David, I was interested in, partly because of the incredible artistry and partly because of the person that I had started to get to know, who was this incredibly warm, disarming, charming person. And so then we were off to the races and they said, okay, well, David will be in touch about songs and all of this stuff. And in early 2015, we started working together one-on-one on the songs.
Yeah, I'm wondering how complete the project was when he came to you. Was it just, I have this idea, how are we going to make it happen? Or had he already thought through the songs he wanted to include and that sort of stuff?
Enda Walsh, the playwright, did an incredible adaptation. Enda himself told me that the stem of the idea for the play came from some paragraphs of text that David provided for him. And evidently, David had provided a bunch of songs for Enda and said, choose from these. And Enda chose the songs, which was very smart. And then David and I talked about the songs and how they fit in the piece.
So the songs that you had to work with, did you have a bunch that you just didn't end up using? Or was it, we've got to find a way to write a story around this batch of songs?
No. The great thing is that this was always, and has always been, an art piece first. And it's been about the story. And rather than picking songs and saying we're writing a story about around the songs, it was sort of, let's have the piece and find the songs to fit the narrative.
Let's take one of the early cuts from it, Lazarus, which is a song that appears on Bowie's final record, Black Star. This is sung by Michael C. Hall, and this is from the original cast recording that's out now. It's kind of amazing how much Michael C. Hall sounds like Bowie. Did you say, hey, sound like Bowie, see if you can sound like Bowie or channel Bowie here?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And I talked to him about that. I talked to Michael about that, and he remarked that even in college, his friends would say, you know, you sound a little bit like David Bowie. But I think it's purely coincidence. Of course, Michael, I believe, was a long time fan and follower of David Bowie, but I think that the quality of his voice sounding like Bowie is just coincidence, and that they sought him out for the quality of his artistry and his acting. rather than the fact that he was a sound-alike. And David never really wanted anybody who was a sound-alike. He was much more about getting the intent right.
So you're sitting down with Bowie, you're going through these songs, you come across Lazarus. I'm wondering how you turn these songs and rework these songs into the theatrical arrangements that people expect from musicals while sort of staying true to Bowie's original vision for the songs.
Well, the thing about Lazarus is that Lazarus, I was lucky to have a version of Lazarus before it was involved with Black Star, and it was a demo, and it had a different title. But to my knowledge, Lazarus was written for the theater piece, and it ended up being a single on Black Star, but the version that I wrote from and that I listened to came from David's demo, and I adapted based on where it should be in the play and based on the demo and the feeling of the demo. And it changed character quite a bit for Black Star. As we all know, it's more subdued, but for the placement in the theater, it seems like the right feeling. But I think for any of the songs, we really sat down and we talked about who was singing the song and what were they doing and where were they in their evolution in the play and their lives, what sort of character was singing the song, and trying to get the mood to fit the piece.
Yeah, I imagine it's got to be hard to, once you have the original song in your head, it's got to be hard to hear it any other way.
Well, yes and no. I mean, and I talked to David, and of course, I wanted to give him anything that he wanted about this stuff. And we kind of agreed that some of the songs would be a bit closer to the original versions and that some of the songs would purposely be a departure. But yes, of course, when you hear the songs when I heard the songs and I was working on them, I thought, how can I possibly rework this? And certainly with Heroes, it was that way.
I will be king, and you will be queen. Though nothing can drive them away, we can beat them just for one day. Oh, we can be heroes just for one day.
So how did you get from the original version of Heroes, the 1977 song, to this?
Well, as I said earlier, Enda Walsh had picked all of these songs, and everybody had hoped that Heroes would be the final piece in the play. And as everybody traditionally knows Heroes, it's this giant piece of music. And you can only think of the Live Aid concert with David standing on the stage defiantly and people singing along. And David did not want that at the end of this theater piece, because it took it to that very recognizable, and he even used the word overexposed, place with this song. He felt that it would be too much of a sort of commercial payoff, and he was against having Heroes in the piece at all. So I thought, well, maybe if for the piece and for the spot, maybe Heroes could change direction completely and become melancholy. And I talked to David about it, and I said, what do you think about this? And I have an idea for you. And he said, well, try it out. And so I made this demo of it at home. I would make a lot of sort of mock-ups and send them over to him in MP3. And then that sort of won him over to this concept about having Heroes from this very different place. Because without giving too much away about the play, Heroes takes place at the end of the play, and there's some resolution and quite a bit of melancholy feeling. And it never grows into the giant, for lack of a better word, rock anthem that everybody knows, but it stays in this place and hopefully shows beauty of the character, of the main character, Thomas Newton.
Let's listen to another song from the musical, a song called When I Met You. This is one that David Bowie wrote specifically for the musical, right?
Yeah, there are four pieces that one of them is Lazarus, which showed up as the single for Black Star, and then the other three pieces that were released with this soundtrack that were written specifically for the musical, for the theater piece.
And the new cast recording that's out now is on two discs. The second disc has Bowie singing those four songs. Let's listen to the Michael C. Hall version from the musical, though, that's included on the first disc here, When I Met You.
What I thought was so charming about this song, first of all, it's a fantastic song to me, and I was given David's demo. And when I mean David's demo, I don't mean a studio demo. I mean a 100% David Bowie home version of this song that he had recorded on his Zoom recorder, warts and all. And it was fantastic because it was all of his guitars and his drum programming and him singing. And he brought this recorder over to my place because we were trying to capture some of the tracks that he had recorded. And there were duplication of tracks, and it was clear that he could make incredible art on this piece of machinery, but there were some technical mistakes along the way, and they were astoundingly great. And I tried very hard to preserve the feeling of him playing guitar on our cast recording. In fact, when you hear David's version of this, I believe they kept his guitar playing. All the strumming guitar, all that stuff is beautifully imperfect, and it's exactly as it should be.
Oh, you mean from the demo?
Yeah, I'm fairly certain that the guitar that ended up on the final David Bowie version of this is from his demo.
Please release the demo, a bonus disc of all the demo versions of all of these songs.
Yeah, there are certainly recordings that I'm sure there are many recordings over the years that have his demos, and who knows if they'll ever see the light of day. Yeah. But the spirit of his demo was so striking, and I thought, I don't want to change much about this spirit, and I want to try to capture that spirit and maybe push it further in the direction that it's already started in. But he already had encapsulated everything that the song needed to be, which it was truly a lesson for me to hear that demo, because I thought, wow, this guy really makes everything about these songs. He creates the song, and he creates all of it. It's not like a guy who's we all know writers who they write bits of the song and then they have help. David was such a complete musician and artist that he would create all of the stuff himself, all of the harmony and all of the parts. And not to say that he always did that with everything, and certainly the amazing work of Tony Visconti and Donnie McCaslin on Black Star is to be credited. But David had a fascinating sense of harmony and parts and production, and this piece really spoke to me about the feeling that he had with the song.
It seems interesting to me and not at all a coincidence that Bowie, nearing the end of his life, chose to revisit a story about a fish out of water who's trying to find his way back home.
I think that's an interesting parallel and one that I haven't heard before. But I don't know that we can say that Bowie was thinking of that in any autobiographical sense. I think that as an artist, David would be happiest to have people take their own perception away from any of his work, any of his songs, any of his writings and lyrics, and certainly Lazarus, the theater piece. He would like people to have their own feelings about it. So was it autobiographical? Was he showing us his final years deliberately with his lyrics? I can't say, and I don't think that he would want anybody to deliberately say. But is it great art? I think it absolutely is, transformatively so.
Did you know when you were working on Lazarus with him that it could end up being the last big project or last project that he'd do?
I did. Of course, those of us who were working very closely with him knew that he was ill, but we only knew it because he told us, and it wasn't something that was a part of our discussions or a part of our any sort of our work, because the only part that he showed from in our daily workings was his incredible joy and excitement about working on this music and working all the music that he was working on. He was excited about Black Star. He was excited about Lazarus. He was excited about the songs and the way things were going. He was excited about the actors and the progress with the piece. And he was just very happy about it all. And I just hope that people keep enjoying David and appreciating him for the amazing human being that he was.
That's Henry Hay talking about his work with David Bowie on the musical Lazarus. Hay's in London right now, where a second production of the musical is set to open on October 25th. For NPR Music, I'm Robin Hilton. It's All Songs Considered.
It's a god-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair, but her mummy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go, and her friend is nowhere to be seen. Now she walks through her sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view, and she's hooked to the silver screen. But the film is a saddening bore, for she's lived it 10 times or more.